was Stalin's library. He has Stalin's library in his office. Stalin was an amazing reader of history, and his pencil markings and marginalia are all there. So I think Putin certainly sees himself as a nationalist Stalin, Peter the Great type figure.
Paul says, give this man 2 hours next time. So I think you've been a bit of a hit tonight, Tom. I wish we did have longer to go, but we have to call it quits there. Tim's book is called Allies at War, The Politics of Defeating Hitler, published by Bodley Head at a very reasonable price of £25. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Ian.
Now, coming up in the next hour, we are going to turn our attention yet again to Donald Trump, because he's been in the wars with the courts. Over the course of the last 48 hours, two decisions have gone against him on the Harvard University foreign students, and also the overturning his tariffs, although, as you just heard 15 minutes ago, there's been a new court decision on that. Which leads me to wonder, after this hugely impressive first few months of his second term, where he's been sort of action this day, every day, do you think we're now finding out that it's turning out to be a bit of a damp squib?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock. A man's been charged by police after a car was driven into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. 53-year-old Paul Doyle will appear in court tomorrow, accused of offences including malicious wounding and causing GBH. The seven charges relate to six victims, including two children. Sarah Hammond is from the Crown Prosecution Service.
It is important to ensure that every victim gets the justice they deserve. The charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
President Trump is appealing against the decision by a US court to block his administration from imposing large import tariffs. It's after three judges ruled Donald Trump overstepped his authority by using an emergency law to impose the duties, but he'll still be allowed to impose them while the appeal process runs its course. Underwater search teams have recovered a body in the search for a missing teenage girl in West Yorkshire. Emergency workers were called after reports she'd fallen into the water at Batings Dam near Rippenden on the Pennines yesterday afternoon. LBC's Yorkshire correspondent Alex Taylor-Brown has been following developments.
West Yorkshire police say formal identification is yet to take place. The family of the girl have been informed. People have been turning up here throughout the day, extended family and friends that have come from the likes of Halifax, Oldham and Rochdale, as well as the locals who live nearby as well, to offer their support.
It's estimated almost 2.5 million people in England are likely to have ADHD, with a fifth of them waiting for a diagnosis. For the first time, NHS England has disclosed how many people it believes the condition affects, but the co-founder of ADHD UK, Henry Shelford, has been telling LBC the country is playing catch-up.
The NICE guidelines for children were published in 2000, for adults in 2008, but it was first recognised more than a century ago. So significant progression in America. So we've just sort of failed to recognise it.
And in sport, Chelsea have agreed to sign the England under-21 international, Liam Delap. They'll pay the £30 million release clause in the striker's Ipswich contract. In the City, the FTSE 100 has closed down 9 points at 87.16. The pound will buy $1.34 and a euro 18. LBC weather, patchy rain for central Scotland, Wales and the north of England overnight, but mostly dry elsewhere. Breezy in the south with a low of 4 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Very good evening. It's 3 minutes past nine on LBC. Well, Donald Trump has been in power for his second term for just over 4 months now. And I think we can all agree that it's been a rip-roaring 4 months. Whether you agree with a lot of what he's done or whether you don't, every single day, Donald Trump commits news. Now, that's great from my point of view. I won't say it's entertaining, although bits of it have been. It's been bewildering in some ways. It's been shocking in other ways. And I don't think anybody expected the last 4 months to turn out as they have. He signed an enormous number of executive orders. almost really bypassing Congress as sort of something that doesn't really matter anymore, and has affected the international world order in a way that I don't think any other president has done in 4 months, and not to the benefit, I think, of the world order or the United States. But again, we can argue on that. He's also run into trouble with various courts over the last 4 months. Obviously, he's in a lot of personal trouble in the courts in the previous 4 years. But over the last 4 months, very many American courts have decided that he's exceeded his constitutional powers. And this has happened twice in the last few days, where a US district judge said that the State Department should not make any changes to Harvard University's student visa program. Donald Trump seems to have now picked a fight with the entire American university system, refusing or saying that American embassies all over the world should refuse to grant new visas to foreign students. Well, imagine if you were running an American university and you're reliant on foreign students for your income. That's quite a serious situation. But Harvard University seems to be the one that is being picked on most. And then secondly, yesterday, a federal court blocked his tariff proposal, saying he'd exceeded his powers. Now, this evening, in the last half an hour, a federal appeals court has lifted the first of two rulings blocking President Trump's tariffs, handing him a temporary win after a lower court rejected the administration's legal defense hours earlier. Now, tomorrow, the Supreme Court is going to rule on this. But if the Supreme Court rules against him, which, given that there's a majority on the Supreme Court that probably would vote in his favour, may be unlikely. But if they do vote against it, and again, this student issue is blocked by the courts, you could put an argument forward that this second term is turning out to be a bit of a damp squib. Because certainly on the tariff front, if he's defeated on that, I mean, that is the be-all and end-all to Donald Trump, isn't it? These big, beautiful tariffs. So are you starting to think that maybe this Trump second term isn't going to be what he billed it to be? 0345 6060 973. And secondly, do you think that there is, given these multiple court decisions, not just these two, but others over the past few months, is he heading for a giant confrontation with the American judicial system, where he will use that to his political advantage and say, well, I've been saying all along, it's not the first time I've said this, that the court, these liberal judges, these unelected liberal judges, are going to try and do their best to thwart us. So it'll become the judges versus the people. I can quite see that happening, but what would the consequence of that be? Now, speaking at a White House briefing a little earlier, before this latest ruling was issued this evening, the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt fought back against the ruling on tariffs.
International trade brazenly abused their judicial power to usurp the authority of President Trump to stop him from carrying out the mandate that the American people gave him. These judges failed to acknowledge that the President of the United States has core foreign affairs powers and authority given to him by Congress to protect the United States economy and national security. The courts should have no role here. There is a troubling and dangerous trend of unelected judges inserting themselves into the presidential decision-making process. These judges are threatening to undermine the credibility of the United States on the world stage. The administration has already filed an emergency motion for a stay pending appeal and an immediate administrative stay to strike down this egregious decision. But ultimately, the Supreme Court must put an end to this for the sake of our Constitution and our country.
Fighting words there from the press secretary. Well, Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent, is not in the US, as you know, because he's presenting Ben Kentish's programme all this week. But he's coming in a bit early to talk to us now. These court decisions, how significant are they?
Well, they are significant. Let's just be clear about what happened. So yesterday, that three-judge bench in New York on the International Trade Court, which is a federal court, said that Donald Trump did not have the legal authority to use a 1977 emergency law to justify imposing reciprocal tariffs on countries all over the world, including, of course, the UK, specifically on that day that he couched as Liberation Day, when he sat in the Rose Garden and almost Eurovision Song Contest style held up the board and reeled off the reciprocal tariff rates for all of America's trading partners, its allies and its competitors. What's happened in the last few minutes is, of course, the White House immediately appealed that decision, because that decision by that federal court would upend Donald Trump's entire trade policy. I mean, the central plank of his economic policy and, to some extent, his national security policy is his commitment to tariffs and a trade war.
And so what powers do the courts over this? Because I don't really understand. In this country, it would definitely be for the Prime Minister of the day to decide our economic policy.
Well, so that is exactly what the White House is arguing. The White House is saying, and this is all about the legislation that they used to justify how he was implementing these tariffs. He used this 1977 emergency law because he says the country is facing a national emergency and he needs to use sweeping executive authority to put these tariffs into place. What the court yesterday said is, sorry, mate, you don't have the power to do that. It's Congress that has to legislate and regulate and impose tariffs, not the President of the United States. There are other legal instruments available to the president that he could try and use to put these tariffs into place, but he picked this 1977 emergency law, and this particular court is saying that law, under these circumstances, doesn't apply. What's happened tonight is that the White House is appealing that ruling, of course. Ultimately, if necessary, they'll ask the Supreme Court to intervene. A federal appeals court has now taken the case up. They will not rule, we think, until the middle of June. So while they're deliberating, they are saying to Donald Trump, you can keep the tariffs in place. The initial court's order completely to unwind all of these tariffs within the next 10 days is basically for now set aside while the appeals court considers where to go with all of this. But there is still a tremendous threat to Donald Trump's decision to use that 1977 law as the basis for these reciprocal tariffs. And ultimately, if this court battle results in Donald Trump losing at the federal appeals level, maybe at the Supreme Court, this is hugely problematic for him, not just because he's committed to his trade war and because in his conception, America can rake in so much money from tariffs that eventually it will be able to even scrap federal income tax and fund the entire government simply off tariff revenues. Remember that he's also using his trade war as a tool of national security. He keeps saying to Canada, become America's 51st state and you wouldn't be susceptible to any of these tariffs. He says to the Chinese, you want me to lower my tariffs against you? Well, you need to stop the flood of fentanyl coming into the United States. I mean, he uses trade policy as an absolute tool of his national security efforts. Same with Russia and Ukraine over the efforts to bring peace to the war there. He couches all of it in terms of the benefits the US, Russia and Ukraine will accrue as a result of being able to trade in a post-war environment. So he's got a huge amount at stake here now.
But couldn't he just go to Congress next week and say, OK, pass a bill, please?
Of course. Well, that's the issue, right? Why is he so intent on doing this end run around both the courts and Congress? You could say, as the court yesterday suggested, go to Congress and get these tariffs passed. Well, one, that takes a long time. And it also involves...
Well, the Republicans control
yeah,
the
houses. But he does, but there are wavering Republicans, particularly in the Senate, that are absolutely opposed to protectionism. They are dyed-in-the-wool free traders, and they don't like this whole idea of a trade war. So he'd have to negotiate. But also, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And this is a president who, beyond the tariff policy and everything else, this is a president who is determined to change America's governing system. He wants the presidency to be all-powerful. No matter how many courts say to him, you cannot govern this country through executive orders because it's not a dictatorship. actually, he wants to govern through executive orders. He doesn't want to deal with Congress. He's not interested in the court.
So these court battles actually suit his agenda in some way.
He covets these court battles, absolutely. He wants to have court battles in a bid to show that the American people sent me here to do a job. You gave me this mandate. I'm now being restrained and constrained from doing this by these very irritating constitutional checks and balances. So make no mistake, Ian, this is all about the future of American democracy. That's what this war is all about.
So somebody said to me yesterday, well, this is actually all about him having a third term, which I've always thought is preposterous, given his age and given all of the Sleepy Joe comments that he used to make. But I'm now starting to wonder, well, is that the end game here, where he has all of these huge battles with the courts, and then it gets to the big one over the Constitution, and you have a potentially explosive situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, this is a revolutionary government. This is a government that is determined to upend the American Constitution and to change the nature of America's governing arrangements. He's not interested in three branches of the government, the presidency, the legislative, and the judiciary, that work together, that check and balance each other's actions in a bid to rule for the common good. He is interested in an all-powerful, superannuated executive, all-powerful presidency, with Congress and the courts basically being fig leaves to approve what he wants to do. And that, of course, is not what the Founding Fathers had in mind, but it is what he has in mind, whether it's about him having a third term or whether it's simply about extending the Make America Great Again movement's influence over political life here in the United States, rather, for generations to come. It all amounts to the same inflection point to which the country is hurtling. Is President Trump going to obey court rulings with which he disagrees? Because if he doesn't, the country's heading to a world of pain.
Very quickly, before you go, because I know you've got a lot to prepare for your own show.
Big show coming up.
The big show is
coming up.
What's this one, then? Don't answer that. Elon Musk. Now, he has left the White House, but not very quietly.
No, not very quietly. And, I mean, you know, his White House experience, you can argue, has been a disaster, because he certainly hasn't brought about the $2 trillion in spending cuts that he said that he would oversee. I don't think it's been entirely a disaster for him, because he's accrued substantial personal benefit out of being involved in government and benefit for his businesses. But on his way out the door, he's had a crack at Donald Trump over President Trump's spending plans, arguing, as other Republicans on Capitol Hill have been arguing, that these are going to fuel the deficit. And that's not what a Republican government is supposed to be doing. So it's going to be, he says he's going to now pull back on political expenditure. He's got businesses to go and salvage, beleaguered situation at Tesla, of course, among them. Let's see where all of this goes. You know, Donald Trump needs Elon Musk to remain on side, because Elon Musk has got so much money at his own personal disposal. And if he chooses to re-enter the political ring and spend that money, he could be a big influencer and not necessarily always on Donald Trump's side.
Well, you go off and prepare for the most beautiful show on LBC coming up at 10 o'clock. Only 43 minutes to wait for Simon Marks. He'll be back with you.
Thank you.
Is that a big enough build-up?
I'll take it.
A beautiful build-up, I thought. 17 minutes past nine.
This is LBC.
You could be £10,000 richer just in time for summer. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get...
by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 625. Full T's and C's apply. See lidl.co.uk/bin.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Ian Dale on LBC.
19 minutes past nine. Well, you had the sweetener there. You've now got the main course with Adam Klasfeldt, who's editor-in-chief of the American news site All Rise News, which focuses on the law and citizens' rights and powers to effect change in the Trump era. Adam, very good evening to you. What do you make of all of these court cases that seem to be finding against Donald Trump? Although, of course, we should emphasise the second one has been reversed by the Federal Appeals Court this evening.
Right. Well, just to put the Federal Appeals Court ruling into perspective, it's an administrative stay, which is basically saying we'll do the status quo while we hear the case. This is not going to be a great victory for Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, as your last guest really pinned down, this is an uphill climb for him because with tariffs, as your last guest said, that is the right of Congress. The Constitution explicitly grants Congress the power of the purse, not the president of the United States. As a matter of fact, that law that your last guest had mentioned, the 1977 International Economic Emergency Powers Act, doesn't contain the word tariffs in it. As a matter of fact, there's only one president in U.S. history that ever claimed the power under any law to unilaterally impose tariffs, and his name is Donald Trump. One of the judges who ruled against Trump on the merits, it was a three-judge panel yesterday, was appointed by Trump. Another was appointed by Ronald Reagan. Despite the White House's messaging here that this is left-wing judges trying to get in the way of the president's agenda, what's happened here is that a panel weighted toward conservative presidential appointees found conclusively that what he was doing was in contravention to the Constitution and that the law that he was citing did not apply. And a big picture point here, you mentioned there are a lot of rulings against Donald Trump, but let's put that into perspective. The New York Times's count says that more than 170 judicial rulings in the United States so far have at least temporarily blocked part of the administration's agenda. Now, those cases are ongoing, but what we find over and over again, including cases this week, blocking retribution against Harvard or retribution against law firms that employ attorneys that the president doesn't like. What the message we're getting over and over is that Trump cannot pursue his individual agendas or ambitions or vendettas in contravention to the Constitution,
but
whether it's the free speech rights of students or the free association rights of lawyers.
But the problem here is, isn't it, that he was elected with a mandate on all sorts of things. It doesn't come as any surprise, the whole tariff agenda. And surely a president that has been very explicit about what he would do if he got a second term, that cannot be... I mean, if people want to fight against it, surely they have to do it through the political system. And it's actually rather damaging to make it all about the law. And in a sense, it's all playing into his hands doing this.
Well, while it is true that he is a duly elected president with a plurality of 49% of the vote, if his agenda was so popular, why can't he bring it to Congress, as your last guest pointed out?
Because he's a man in a hurry.
Because he's a man in a hurry, and he's a man, I would submit, who realizes that a Republican Senate and even the Republican-controlled House isn't too enthusiastic about setting the tariffs at whatever whim he wakes up in the morning to set it. I don't think that the mandate, that 49% mandate, necessarily means that he can do what is known as a bill of attainder, telling a law firm, I don't like the look on your face, and therefore I'm going to withhold your entrance into federal buildings. These are things that Trump has done.
We have a government in this country that was elected on 33% of the vote, but has a majority of 170 seats in Parliament. And yet, I'm struggling to think, in the 10 months that they've been in power, whether there's been a single court case that's gone through the British judicial system to try and prevent them from doing anything that they outlined in their manifesto. It just seems a bit odd to us, I suppose, that the automatic thing to do is to go to the courts. I mean, if the Democratic Party had any influence at all, I mean, they ought to be manning the ramparts on this, but you don't hear a peep from them.
Well, there's in terms of what the legislative branch is doing, the Democrats are not in control of any part of the legislature. But as for the judicial branch, I suppose that part of the reason for this kind of lopsided results that we're seeing is the actions that are being attempted here. What is being attempted here is the President of the United States saying, I'm going to ban lawyers from entering federal buildings and kneecap them so that people who want to have the counsel of their choice, which is a part of the U.S. Constitution, are not allowed to do so. Let's talk about the kind of the principles that are stated in these rulings. There have been multiple rulings, scores, if not dozens, finding violations of the right to free speech, the right to freely associate, the right to have a counsel of your choice, the right to due process. I suppose there might be a different result, even in the UK, if the writ of habeas corpus were not respected, as it is not being respected in the United States. If the Prime Minister declared one day that a person who is living in the United Kingdom would be sent to a war-torn, human rights-abusing country that they had never known, these are all the legal issues that are live right now in the United States.
Are you not concerned, though, that that these constant court battles are playing into Donald Trump's hands, and it's in his interest to foment this battle between the political system and the judicial system? Because in the end, I mean, he would argue, well, there's only going to be one winner there, and that's going to be me. And if the end game is to create such a row between the courts and his presidency, and he will say, well, look, I need to have a third term to do this, and I'm going to run for a third term. I mean, that would be catastrophic, wouldn't it, to have that battle playing out in the courts?
Right. Well, I agree that Donald Trump's ambition here is a full frontal attack on the judicial system. He's acknowledged it. He's criticized the judicial system many times. And the judges are agreeing that Trump's actions are, in the words of four federal judges, are already lawless. But what is the solution to that? Right now, does the judicial branch preemptively stop functioning and allow violations of the law and constitution? What we're seeing now from the judicial branch is judges who were appointed by Donald Trump, as with the tariffs ruling, judges who were appointed by George W. Bush, appointed by Ronald Reagan, all ruling against him because of actions that, in the view, more than 170 times, finding likely violations of the law and constitution. So if it plays into any person's strategy, I don't believe that's the fault of the U.S. judiciary.
But if this does carry on, certainly the tariff court decisions, if that carries on, it goes to the Supreme Court. What's your prediction of what would happen there? Because Donald Trump would be confident of victory there, wouldn't he, given the balance of the judges in the Supreme Court?
I wouldn't be so confident. Of that result. Let's talk about some of the Supreme Court decisions so far. There was a 9-0 decision on the writ of habeas corpus, saying that, yes, immigrants do have right to notice and a hearing before being removed to a country. This was a 9-0 court with a supermajority, a conservative supermajority, and three Trump appointees that reached that decision. There was a follow-up decision blocking the removal of other immigrants in Texas from under the Alien Enemies Act while the case proceeds. There's no doubt he has a favorable panel there at the Supreme Court, and he might be banking on that. But he might be surprised just how far any of the justices might transgress from basic constitutional principles here when we're talking about, does the president of the United States, only one president of the United States has ever claimed the power to impose tariffs. Is the Supreme Court going to give him a mulligan and locate something in the Constitution that does not appear to be there to allow him to do that?
It's happened before, hasn't it? Adam, thank you very much indeed. That's Adam Glansfeld from the All Rise News. Andrew in Penzance says, hot off the press, Ian Dale thinks King Donald Trump should not be bound by the law and or constitution. I'd love to know where you get that idea from. It may have been a question that I asked Adam, but I ask questions. That doesn't mean to say that I agree with the premise of the question. You really need to understand how news works, Andrew. Clearly don't. Malcolm says, it's not a damn squibby, and there's a lot of really cruel and really harmful change that's happening to the US that'll stick. The big reason he was elected was the massive tax cut he's about to try to get through the Senate, despite holding both houses and the White House. That effort could so satisfyingly fail to be passed, revealing to the poorly educated MAGA dimwits what a slimeball Trump is. Either way, after Musk's demise, more billionaire cabinet members will leave due to the personal damage coming their way from their part in humiliating the US around the world. That's Malcolm in Bodmin. When you say these poorly educated MAGA dimwits, you're using exactly the kind of language that you and many others used against people who voted for Brexit in 2016. It's patronising, it's wrong, and shows that you have no understanding at all of why so many people voted for Donald Trump in the last American election. You just think they're all thick. That's not really a way to conduct public debate, in my view. It's 9:31 on LBC. We'll come to more of your calls in a moment. But first, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
A man's been charged by police after a car was driven into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. 53-year-old Paul Doyle will appear in court tomorrow, accused of offences including malicious wounding and causing GBH. A federal appeals court has reinstated the most sweeping of President Trump's trade tariffs after the White House appealed against a trade court ruling. It decided he'd exceeded his authority by imposing the duties and they should be blocked, but many will now remain while the legal challenge runs its course. And the Shadow Justice Secretary has admitted to LBC he did break Transport for London rules to make footage highlighting the issue of fare dodging. Robert Jenrick didn't seek permission to film on TfL property and confront rule breakers, but has also told us it's ridiculous to suggest he should have. LBC weather, patchy rain for central Scotland, Wales and the north of England overnight, but mostly dry elsewhere, with a low of 4 degrees.
This is LBC.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head over to Bet Victor. They've got bags of offers and promotions kicking about.
Like what?
For a start, all them weekly promotions.
Oh, yeah?
There's the Loyalty Club, the Bet Victor Predictor, and in Casino, they've got the Spinners Club, which is a weekly slot thingamajig. And you can also order food to your door.
Can you?
Oh, no, hang about. That's a different app.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at Bet Victor. 18 plus, terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos, and that irresistible Frank's Red Hot mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
A Southern Train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets from only £7 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Ian Dale, text 84850. This is LBC.
9:33. I asked a rather provocative question at the beginning of the hour, I suppose, where I said, I asked if Donald Trump's second term is turning into a little bit of a damp squib. It was slightly tongue-in-cheek, if I'm honest, because I don't think two court decisions against him necessarily make that true. But if they both hold up and the courts prevent him from imposing tariffs, prevent him from doing what he wants to do in universities, then you would have to say that it hasn't got off to a great start. I mean, there are plenty of other things he's done, as we all know. But do you think the courts could effectively, I won't say lead to Donald Trump's downfall, because I don't think he's going to resign as president, but if his whole agenda keeps being thwarted by the courts, what will he have to show at the end of it? And all American presidents want to have a legacy, particularly those who've served for two terms. And of course, Donald Trump is only the second president in history to serve two terms, having lost at the end of his first term. And so there was, obviously, Joe Biden was the interim president, and he's now back. Grover Cleveland was the only other one back at the latter part of the 19th century. So Trump will want a legacy, and he will also want a legacy for his successor, which at the moment one has to assume would be J.D. Vance. I mean, the legacy in terms of the Republican candidate, I mean. So he's got to be able to point to 4 years of some degree of achievement, not just on the economic front. And I wonder whether you think that the courts are going to be much more crucial to this legacy than the Democratic Party. 0345 6060 973. Well, in the last few minutes, Trump's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, has spoken to reporters outside the White House.
We see this is as this broader problem of rogue judges erecting essentially a judicial blockade motivated both by Democrats and, in the case of trade, the typical rhino free trade Wall Street, ship the jobs offshore, open the borders. We see this as a judicial blockade. It's consistent with the other things they've done to try to stop the deportation of violent felons and to basically slow us down on all sorts of different fronts. And they will pay the price for this at the ballot box. Every time something like this happens, the Democrats reveal themselves as against the very agenda President Trump ran on that propelled him to a landslide election.
Peter Navarro there, Donald Trump's trade secretary. Right, let's go to your calls. Joe's in Shepherd's Bush. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Ian.
Hi. What would you like to say?
I just listened to that clip from Peter Navarro. He's talking such nonsense. That panel of three judges, one was appointed by Trump himself, and one was appointed by Ronald Reagan. What we're seeing is the American system function exactly as it should. You said earlier when you were talking to the other chap, sorry, I don't know his name. I tuned in midway through. But Donald Trump was elected by so many people, so why shouldn't he be able to put his agenda through? The American system, I'm sure you know this, but it's three co-equal branches of government, right? You've got the president, you've got Congress, and you've got the judiciary, the courts. So just because Donald Trump was elected on a platform of whatever it may be doesn't mean he has carte blanche to enact that platform.
No, and I totally agree with that, and I hope you accept that I was asking a question, not giving a personal view there.
No, I understand that, of course, but I mean, it might be interesting for listeners, I don't know. But, you know, George Bush was elected on a platform to amend the Constitution to ban gay marriage. It's slightly off topic, but my point is that just because it's the platform doesn't mean that he can go against the laws of the land or the Constitution, the founding document of, you know, how the American system works.
No, and it's all about checks and balances, isn't it? That's the whole point of the way that their Constitution does work.
Exactly. I mean, for better or for worse, And to answer sort of the wider question, I do think the courts are going to be not his downfall, as you said, but I think they're going to stymie a lot of his agenda, because his agenda is an authoritarian one. And the American system was designed from the ground up to prevent that sort of thing. So, you know, you're seeing extrajudicial deportations. And, you know, the court may be stacked in his favor because of the judges he appointed to it. But, you know, you've got Amy Coney Barrett, who some reports are saying has turned on him. And I think if you go against an order of the Supreme Court, like he has done with that case of that poor guy in the Colombian prison, he's going to annoy those judges, because you don't disobey a Supreme Court order. You just don't do it. And I think a lot of his agenda flies in the face of the US Constitution. I think it's going to get held up in the courts. And I think, as you said, the second term is going to be a bit of a damp squib.
Well, we will find out. Joe, thank you very much indeed. It's a night of Joes. We've got another one in Elstree. Hello, Joe.
Joe in Shepherd's Bush. What an absolute clown. That poor guy in an...
Come on, stick up for your fellow Joe.
That poor guy in an El Salvadorian prison. That guy is a lunatic. Anyway, do you know what, Ian? There's one simple fact here that shows that these radical judges are only interested in stopping Trump.
Radical judges... Let's have the facts, because I think Joe in Shepherd's Bush did give us facts here. One of them was a Trump appointee, another one was a Reagan appointee. I don't know who the third one was, so maybe you're right on that one. I don't know. But you can't just go and say that all of the judges are radical and lefties and liberal and whatever.
I can, because there's one simple statement that I need to make. When Joe Biden let in 20 million illegals, not one of these federal judges put out an order telling Joe Biden, you must seal the border immediately. For 4 years, not one single order to seal the border. And why was that, Ian? Because they're not interested. They're only interested in stopping Trump. And that simple statement proves it. Doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure it does, because...
Well, how can it not? If 20 million illegals are invading your country and there's not one federal judge who has the balls to stand up and say, you must seal the border now, this is dangerous,
well, under what law would that be? Under what law would they be able to do that?
And under what law can they stop...
No. Answer my question. And if nobody brings a case under a particular law, then a judge cannot make that decision anyway. Stands to reason.
But Joe Biden had a duty to protect the interior of the United States and protect his citizens, which is the Constitution. He didn't do that.
So why didn't anyone bring a case?
No, but it doesn't need a case. These federal judges have just gone out on a limb.
No, I'm sorry. That's not the way the legal system works, either in this country or the United States. If you want to test that, you have to take it as a case to a court. A judge just doesn't roll up in court one day and issue a pronouncement. And that's not how the legal system works.
So who has gone to a judge and told him, we don't want Trump doing tariffs? And the judge has said, yep, okay, fine, I'm going to put out an order and we're going to block his domestic policy. Who's put the case forward?
I've no idea, but somebody will have.
Well, we never find out, though, do we?
I'm sure if you use Mr. Google, you could find out. I mean, just Google the hearing today, the Federal Appeals Court. Just Google that and it'll tell you who's brought the... Well, it'll be the Trump administration that's brought the appeal, but the initial judgment will have been made after someone brought a case, and that's what judges do. They pronounce on which side they fall down on.
I think ultimately this is only a good thing for Trump, because he needs to get this done within the first 2 years. And when it goes to SCOTUS, SCOTUS will side with Trump, because otherwise Trump might as well be a judge himself and just enact domestic international policy as a judge.
Well, I think in a sense you've hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly what Donald Trump is doing. He regards himself as judge and jury. And people won't like me for saying this, but that is the mark of an aspirant dictator.
Ian, you know this as well, that nowhere in the US Constitution does it say the word democracy. America has always been a republic. That's always how it's been. People might not like it, but that you are an emperor. You can do things like this. People might not like it, but that is the case.
Well, it's funny how each previous president hasn't regarded the presidency like that. I mean, you could argue that Andrew Jackson, you could probably put a case for Andrew Johnson acting in similar ways to Donald Trump, but all of the other, 44, they have not acted like this and used executive orders to this extent. Now, all presidents have issued executive orders, but you look at the numbers down the years, and nothing compares to Trump's second term.
That doesn't make it wrong.
Doesn't make it right either.
Well, SCOTUS will test that out, won't they? And I have a feeling they will side with Article 2, which Trump will use in the and SCOTUS will see that.
Just for the benefit of listeners, explain what SCOTUS is.
SCOTUS is a Supreme Court of the United States.
Fine. Yes, it is. But not everybody will be familiar with the acronym. Joe, thank you. Let's go to Tyler, a new caller in Weston-super-Mare. Tyler, good evening.
Good evening to you. I have to say, I think you just made some of the points that I had called.
Oh, that's so frustrating, isn't it?
No, it's perfectly fine. I'm a little nervous. I've never been on the radio before, but it's exactly right. The point that I think that a lot of people are missing in this is that it isn't a matter of whether the president can have a legacy or enact his policies. It's a matter of, in the American system, it's not just a matter of the president because he claims a mandate from having been elected to rule by decree. When you want to make these kind of changes in tariff policy, you have to deal with the legislative branch. And why he wouldn't want to do so, I know why he wouldn't want to do so, but it's not reasonable for him not to want to because he has a majority, or the Republicans have a majority in both the House and the Senate. There's no reason on earth why he shouldn't simply go through the normal process, as you described, that every president does, of trying to have his policies put into practice through legislation.
Well, I think Simon Marx put his finger on the nub of this question, where he said that even though he has, or the Republican Party has, control of the Senate and the House, it's not quite the same as the House of Commons, where parties are whipped into line. Yes, there are whips in the Senate and the House, but I think senators in particular tend to be a little bit more independent than British MPs, and sometimes
That's
have to be
right,
yeah. And I mean, they can be bought off by pork barrel politics, obviously. I'm being a cynic, that often happens. However, if Donald Trump thinks that there are, I can't remember what the majority that the Republicans have got in the Senate at the moment, but it's a relatively narrow one. So you only need two or three to peel off, and before you know it, you're not going to get your legislation through.
And that's the system that our founding fathers designed.
Yeah.
They wanted that. They did not want an elected strong man.
Yeah.
They didn't want things out of balance like that, and they wanted people to have to, and if it leads to delay, if it leads to frustration, that's the system. The system that we've always had.
Well, it's 53-47, so you only need three senators to peel off, and then you don't get your legislation through. So, look, Tyler, this is going to be fascinating to watch. Thank you for your perspective. You won't need to be so nervous next time, will you? But you didn't show that you were nervous. Right, we'll come to more of your calls in a moment, including Nick in Ilford. It's 9:47.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Simon Marks.
LBC has found a 60% increase in the number of knives and blades in the country's schools. How are you and your kids navigating the dangers?
Simon Marks on LBC.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service.
How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
This is LBC with Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060 973.
9:49 on LBC. Stephen Maidstone sends me this from The Guardian. Legal complaints about the tariffs had been lodged with the court by the non-partisan Liberty Justice Centre campaign group on behalf of small US businesses, as well as a dozen US states, including Oregon, Arizona and New York. Doesn't strike me as a particularly lefty group of small businesses, but pays your money, you take your choice. Let's go to Nick in Ilford. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Ian. As usual with Trump, it's very complicated, but there's a simple answer. He's a disruptor, and he is a strong man, and that's who the American people voted for. And even though there's people within the court system that were appointed by him, a lot of them don't like him. A lot of his own party don't like him, but they had no choice to go but to go with him to get him in. Now, this is out-and-out lawfare that you're seeing now. You saw it with Brexit in this country. How many times did it go to court and get blocked for various things and it took so long to get through? They did it with the charges against Trump prior to the presidency. So I'm not surprised that he wants to go for the courts, and it works for him.
But hang on a second, because isn't this why we have a judicial system, a court system, where somebody has a complaint, where they think the law has been broken, they take it to court, and then a judge or a group of judges decide whether the law has been broken or not? That is an integral part of our democracy.
You're absolutely right, Ian, but it's kind of the old system, because the problem that we seem to have now is this, I do believe partisan judges, a partisan system that sees the order of things and the way things should be. And Trump's never been that. He got blocked in his first presidency, and his whole spiel for this one was, nobody's going to stop me now, I'm going to get rid of all the old hats that were in there. I'm going to bring my own people in. But he could never really do that with the courts. And as I said, the courts
because that's why their constitution has introduced back in, what was it, the 1790s, checks and balances to make sure that a president could not take on the role of a dictator.
That is true. That is true. But something you said was also very true. You don't see people doing it to people on the left. You said you said about there weren't court cases against other presidents, no other presidents. I think maybe there was one.
I mean, there have been court cases against presidents. I mean, clearly, but I mean, not to the extent
in the same way. So yeah. it was always clear, and I think the people that voted for Trump, it was always clear that they were going to try and stop him in his courts. And his whole spiel was, "I'm going to get this done. I'm going to give you what you're saying you want," which is why the American people were so fed up with the establishment politicians that there were. And something that they've learned now as well is that there were so many lies going on during the Biden presidency over his health, over the things they were doing, over border control, all things that Trump's been able to do, especially with the border. So any cause fighting him, it helps him, it makes him more powerful. So for him, he's not going to take the easy route. He's going to go the hard route because it will help with the next election as well with Vance.
Or him.
I don't believe that'll happen. I really don't.
Well, I don't, but a few months ago, I would have said there was only a 10% chance of it happening, but I think that percentage has probably increased a little since then, because
The only possible way I can see that happening is if he goes in under a vice presidency under Vance, and then Vance resigns afterwards. And I don't think they would be stupid enough to believe the American people would swallow that, to be honest.
Well, you'd hope not. Nick, thank you very much. Let's take a text here from Jonathan, who says, why is he trying to use emergency powers to force things through when he has Congress? He can whip to task. The bill has to be awful. Awful. Well, I think we've covered that, haven't we? Let's go to Ulf in Hamburg. Ulf, guten Abend.
Guten Abend. Well, the only way Trump can have the kind of legacy he has in what passes for his mind is to undermine or abolish American democracy. He has to undermine the rule of law. He has to make elections meaningless so he can create the kind of America that he wants. Basically, his legacy will be, if it happens, a legacy of fascism, because he will lose in court. And if those court orders still mean anything, he'll be stopped. And people are noticing how nasty his policies are for the majority of people. So the next elections might get dicey for him. So the only way to approach that for him is to make sure that as many people as possible cannot vote against him. Voter suppression is an art form in the United States. So he might make it, but not as the leader of a democratic country, but as the Führer of a new America.
Wow. I mean, do you not have confidence in the checks and balances of the American Constitution that if he did go down that road, and I think it's a big if he did go down that road, that there are enough checks and balances to stop him?
It is an open contest, I believe. Presumably the authors of Project 2025, and know their system very well, and know how to undermine it from the inside. No system is absolutely perfect. Every system can be undermined and destroyed from the inside. So there is grave danger for American democracy. He might win that battle. Evil might prevail.
Well, there's also great danger for the whole world order here, isn't there? Because we've seen him trying to shake that up already quite successfully in some ways. And I suppose the next stage would be to withdraw from NATO. But again, Congress would have to approve that. And I don't really think Congress would, but who knows? I mean, we've got 3.5 more years of this.
Yes, and they will be interesting to say the least. If Trump and his mega fascists prevail, Europe will be caught between an imperialist Russia and a fascist America. It will be the last light of democracy when there will be Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. But we will be the biggest hope for democracy in the world. And that will be a very difficult situation. We Europeans must become very strong, very fast, or we are toast.
Thank you very much indeed, Ulf. Let's move on to Grace in Ealing. Grace, hello.
Hi. I've been struck by Trump's arrogance for a long time and perturbed by it. I kind of really believe that it's good to aim towards humility. I have been particularly annoyed by people in America who claim to be Christians being fanatically supportive of him, because so much of what he says is antithetical to how we were taught to be. But I've been reading a little bit about how Trump has said that one of his greatest influences was a guy called Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote these books such as The Power of Positive Thinking, suggesting that, a bit like manifesting, except a bit darker in Trump's case, you can just really have what you want. You can kind of bring it about if you think positively. And this guy, Norman Vincent Peale, was Trump's pastor when Trump was a child, but clearly a fake pastor, and there's plenty of that, unfortunately, particularly across the pond, and a bit of it here too. People feigning religiosity just to get power when they're not actually following what the Bible says. But it seems like this idea has kind of seeped into Trump's psyche, that if he really wants something, he can have it. And I remember on election night a few years ago, him saying, you know, we were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. This was when the votes were still coming in. He seems to think that if he wants something, he can have it. And he's not going to be concerned about what the courts say or what the Constitution says. He thinks that, you know, he will, you know, make America rich with tariffs. He will, I don't know, maybe get a third term if he wants it. He just seems to genuinely believe that he's got this, you know.
I think you're right on that, Grace. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for all of your calls and messages this evening and throughout the week. I'm back on Monday evening from 7. If you missed any of this evening's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top news stories and opinion, choose which news categories matter most to you, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. There'll be a new Where Politics Meets History podcast for you at 1 o'clock in the morning. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 1 on LBC, it's Clive Ball. But right now, with the biggest, the most beautiful show on LBC, it is Simon Marks.
Thank you, Ian. Have a lovely weekend. I'm in for Ben again tonight. After the news at midnight...
Do you think it's all right not to pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay?
Robert Jenrick goes full action man, chasing down fare dodgers on London's Tube. But isn't it risky confronting people engaged in antisocial behaviour? At 11, Donald Trump's tariffs have been temporarily reinstated hours after they were blocked. But more broadly, is he already a bit of a busted flush? But this hour...
Kids are becoming desensitised to things that we would once upon a time be completely shocked and blown away by.
Exclusive reporting by LBC reveals a 60% increase in youngsters caught with knives in schools. Why? How safe are your kids? And what should the government be doing about it? Is it time for security checks every morning before class?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. A federal appeals court has reinstated the most sweeping of President Trump's trade tariffs following the White House appeal against a decision to block them. It's after a trade court ruled he'd exceeded his authority by using historic laws to impose the duties, but many will now remain in place while the legal challenge runs its course. In the last hour, the Trump administration's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, has been speaking at the White House.
We see this as this broader problem of growth.